We've come to worship today because we believe in the testimony of the first Christians. We have seen the Lord. And while we are encountering the risen Lord in a different way this afternoon, we are not at a disadvantage. For Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The Easter octave ends today, as I explained at the beginning of Holy Mass, but the Easter season continues until Pentecost Sunday, which is the last Sunday in May. And so the subject of my Easter season preaching series is Proclaim, Declare the Works of the Lord. It's based on Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And we can make this joyous profession of faith because of the greatest work of the Lord for our benefit, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through holy baptism, we are being immersed into divine life. We are being identified with Christ in his dying and rising to save us from sin and death. And we are being incorporated or made members of his church. This greatest work of the Lord is at work within us now through holy baptism, which is not just a past event, but an ongoing reality of God's grace at work within us as we cooperate with God. We renewed our baptismal promises last Sunday, and it was an affirmation that this ongoing work of the Lord continues, and we are resolved to live intentionally as disciples of Christ within his church. For indeed, in addition to the resurrection of the Lord, another work of the Lord is his church. And it's important for us to think about that, even though I'm speaking to people who are now in the church building, one of the church buildings, but where the church gathers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because even among those who gather in church buildings, there's doubts as to whether they want to continue to be members of the church. There are some people at home now who used to come to Holy Mass who have doubts about being members of the church. And it's not just the job of the clergy or the lay ministers to reach out to those who may be in that position. It's the responsibility of every one of us. So I invite you to listen closely. And this is being recorded, so it'll be on the website as well. For the work of the Lord happens in his church. That is his choice. Look at the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It describes the church after Pentecost, so over 50 days after Easter. It describes the bonds that united the church in the first century. They devoted themselves, they weren't complacent, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life. And that means that they professed one faith that was received from the apostles who had received that gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Acts of the Apostles continues. They devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. The breaking of the bread is the phrase that was used to describe the Eucharistic sacrifice or Holy Mass. They were devoted to it. Receiving the Eucharist deepens a union which already exists. One cannot follow Christ alone. To be a disciple of Christ is to be a member of the church. And so communion deepens our union with Christ and the communion we share as members of the Catholic Church because of what we read in the sacred scriptures, in the Acts of the Apostles. The bonds of unity are the profession of one faith under the same apostolic leadership and sharing in the same worship based on that faith, including the sacramental life that was instituted by Jesus Christ himself and incorporated into his church. And all of these bonds deepen our love for God and for one another. But even as I talk about deepening our union with Christ within the communion of the Catholic Church, this communion of love is not insular. It reaches outside of the community of faith. The Acts of the Apostles says that others became Christians because of the witness of the church. What did we hear in the first reading? The church enjoyed favor with all the people, and every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The English translation of the original Greek did not say those who are already saved because they made a sincere prayer. Those who are being saved, undergoing the process of salvation that will not reach its completion until we see our God face to face. However, there are times in which the church does not enjoy favor from others, including within the church itself. For instance, there is the violent persecution of the church, which happens around the world. St. Peter talked about that as one of the trials of our faith in the second reading. Let's give one tragic example. A recent report from the International Society for Civil Liberties and the Rule of Law noted that at least 52,250 Christians of all backgrounds have been killed in Nigeria over the last 14 years because of their Christian faith. Yet, according to another study by the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate connected to Georgetown University, in doing a survey of Catholics in each nation to see where is the largest Sunday Holy Mass attendance, it's in Nigeria, over 90%. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of bombings of churches, killing people during worship in church, the highest percentage of Catholics going to church on Sundays is in Nigeria. Give something for us to consider here in the United States in terms of some of the reasons we decide to stay home. But those who face violent persecution know that they don't have the favor of other people, but they must take the time to thank God for favor after favor after favor, including the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, by going to Holy Mass on the Lord's Day. There's another reason for a lack of favor for the church. It's due to the hypocrisy and scandals among some of our members. And I would have said that even if the Maryland Attorney General report was not issued, because you've heard people say before, they're hypocrites in the church, I don't want to go. And we also read that in the scriptures about hypocrisy and scandals in the church. Particularly, St. Paul, the apostle, addresses those things in his letters. And doesn't excuse what happens today. But obviously, hypocrisy and scandal are not works of the Lord. But as we cooperate with the Lord in being perfected by his grace, and as we strive to overcome hypocrisy, and repair scandal, by holding people accountable, the Lord is at work. You know, some people give up the church because of what they see as hypocrisy and scandal, but the Lord Jesus has never given up on his church. And if we want to follow Jesus, we need to do what Jesus does. Look at that gospel reading. Jesus appears to the church on the first Easter Sunday evening in a locked room. Many of them had run away from him when he picked up his cross, even though they had professed beforehand that they would never leave him. And this is a reflection of God's steadfast love and mercy. The divine mercy devotion was shared with the world through the private revelation of the Lord to Saint Faustina. And this devotion emphasizes trusting in the Lord to overcome sin and to grow in holiness. That is what Jesus meant when he appeared to the first members of the church on Easter Sunday evening. They were in a locked room, but he was able to enter that room, not by opening the door, but because he has a glorified body that is not limited by time or space. And they were able to recognize him also because the wounds that he had experienced in his crucifixion were still present in his glorified body, to show that that which has sought to defeat him could not destroy him. He had overcome that which had wounded him, and now his love and mercy heals the wounds of sin, division, and death. And that is the meaning of him saying, "Peace be with you. Shalom. May God's saving work be with you." For the love of God cannot be overcome by anything, even the marks of rejection. And this peace gave a reason for the church gathered in that room to rejoice, for they were being now liberated from sin and death. And they knew that that peace that only God can give provides a way of living according to the principles of divine truth for daily living. And how were they to live in the communities in which they were apart? The gospel reading says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus speaking to people who had run away from him after he bore his cross. He was reconciling them back to himself, and now he sent them forth to invite people to be reconciled to God. The risen Lord sends us forth to practice our faith among our families, friends, co-workers, fellow students, and community members, even our enemies. And the Lord Jesus continues his mission through us, knowing our strengths and our weaknesses, but he trusts us. And he invites us to trust him. Whatever he calls us to do, he gives us the capacity to do. He gives us the gift of himself entirely, unconditionally, in love and mercy towards us. Jesus even provides the sacraments, which I'll talk about next week. But as we heard in the gospel reading, we have the origins of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sin you, the church, forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." That's Jesus' choice. Whenever people talk about, how can you go to a man to confess your sins? You need to have a talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He made that decision when he empowered the apostles to forgive sins in his name. So your issue is with the Lord Jesus Christ. But also when Jesus gathers us together as his church during the Eucharist, he sends us forth at the end, inviting us to take up the responsibility, to enjoy the opportunity, to proclaim in word and action that our lives belong to our loving and merciful God. We are not ashamed to declare the works of the Lord, and we want people to experience that same gift. On the first Easter Sunday evening, the risen Lord appeared to the early church and sent them forth to be his representatives. And they cooperated, beginning with their outreach to Thomas the Apostle. For an unknown reason, he was absent during this momentous event. But after he returned, Thomas stayed with the church, even though he voiced his doubts about what the church had proclaimed. "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "I'll never believe it unless I can touch his wounds for myself." He didn't leave after that. He stayed. And even though the scriptures do not record it, most likely during that week, he heard the witness of his brothers and sisters in Christ. He dealt with his doubts. His brothers and sisters in Christ were patient with him. But they told Thomas that he had to accept what God had revealed. Thomas learned that he could not remain a Christian on his own terms, refusing to accept how the risen Lord had communicated to him. And yet, the Lord in his mercy reaches out to Thomas. Even though Thomas had rejected the proclamation of the church, Thomas still stayed there, dealt with his doubts, and on the next Sunday, after the Lord rose from the dead, Christ appeared to Thomas within the context of the community of faith. And as a result, Thomas professed the faith of the church. A crucial reason that Thomas remained a Christian, fulfilled his vocation as an apostle, and is a saint in heaven today is because of the church. Saint Thomas would not have believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus if it were not for the church, with its strengths and its weaknesses, with its fears, but then filled with the Holy Spirit and courageously proclaiming, "Jesus is alive." And it began a new relationship that Thomas had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think if we gave some time to praying about this, this too is our testimony for. Even if some members of the church have betrayed us through their hypocrisy and scandal, there are many more members of the church who are striving to be holy, and through that striving, sanctify our communities. They are parents and other family members, friends and fellow parishioners, lay ministers, consecrated religious, and clergy. The good that they have done and continue to do cannot be overshadowed. The light of Christ continues to illumine their lives and has influenced us to allow Christ to do the same within us. I invite you to join me in remembering these people, these members of the church, these brothers and sisters in Christ who have influenced you to follow Christ, to believe that he is alive and at work for our good and for the good of others. Thank God for them. And if they are still with us, thank them now while they are with us. Declare the wonderful works of the Lord in his church. Thanks be to God.